저는 오늘 당회장님을 생각하면서 당회장님의 저서
Today, remembering, thinking of the senior pastor, I prepared this message based on senior pastor's Genesis lectures and his sermons on God's justice, flesh and spirit, and spiritual faith. I also set today's sermon title, Impossible Things Shall Be Made Possible, which is a phrase often mentioned by senior pastor. Now, hearing that phrase, don't you miss him and feel as if you are hearing his voice? I think many changes are occurring within this church. And I think our church's praises and performances are now on another level. And I just saw they performing with a typewriter. I think he was the typewriter. He was writing, Senior Pastor, I love you. Also, recently, the Israeli pastors blew the lamb's horn trumpets. Also, the members of the Transportation Bureau shouted together, hey, 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 singing Joshua's Army. As I watched these two performances, I was reminded of the battle against the city of Jericho back in Joshua's time. You know, back in the time, the priests blew the lamb's horn trumpets, and then the people shouted loudly, and then the wall of the city of Jericho crumbled down. It happened like 3 or 4,000 years ago. So, I was inspired. Over 3,000 years ago, the lamb's horn trumpet that resounded, that thundered throughout around the city of Jericho, and the people's shouts, the lamb's horn trumpet sounds, it felt like these sounds were resounding right here in this sanctuary. And I also thought, and I believe that all our problems, the church's problems, our individual problems, can be resolved. All these things will crumble down, all of them. I was inspired that way. Some people may retort, I think you are mistaken. You know, it's an incident which happened 3,000 years ago. How could such a thing happen right now, here? You know, the incidents in the Bible are spiritual events. So spiritual events transcend time and space. So only if we satisfy the justice, we can make such things happen in our lives. So our city of Jericho, the city of Jericho in our life will crumble down as well. As I heard the praise song, hey, 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 you know, the shouting, the chanting, hey, 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 signifies victory. I thought, who could ever stand before the Lord? Right. Were there anything that could stand before the Lord? The enemy devil and Satan? The diseases? Raging sea waves? Even death, which bound Lazarus to the tomb, couldn't resist our Lord. And then these thoughts flashed into our mind. Who could ever stand before a senior pastor's power? Could typhoons resist his power? Could any disease resist his power? Could Down's syndromes or Parkinson's disease?
So,
David, from today's passage, was a person who believed in God's almightiness and perfection. This is the reason God said in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. David only relied and believed in God and set aside the justice. So, as a result, he defeated Goliath, although it was physically very difficult. He knocked him down. If, you know, if CCM songs had existed back in the time, David also would have sung, Hey, 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 who could stand before God? I believe all of us should glorify God that way. Who could stand before my men? If we have faith like David, who could ever stand before us, my men? We have to give glory to God that way, I believe. So, what should we do to give glory to God that way? To do so, we have to believe that God does not work according to the physical possibility, probability, but He works according to our faith. David even though David made a confession of faith, physically speaking, let's say an ordinary person has 100 stones to throw, and before him stands a person like Goliath. And what do you think is the probability of him throwing, striking him right on the forehead, even though he uses all of his stones, 100, even though he had 1,000 stones? I don't think it's possible for him to hit him right on the forehead. The probability is, I think, close to zero. David just picked up 5 stones from a stream, and so he had only 5 stones, so the probability is much less. Of course, as a shepherd boy, David must have been good at throwing stones. He must have been better than other people at throwing stone. But still, it must have been extremely difficult to hit Goliath right on the forehead. Moreover, next to Goliath was a person protecting him with a big shield. So, how do you think it's possible for him to hit him right on the forehead with just 5 stones? But from this incident, we can find that David defeated Goliath not just because he had physically a high probability, but it was because God worked with him, seeing his spiritual faith. To go over the meaning of probability, to talk about the meaning of probability, when we say something is probable, it means it could happen or not happen. I searched the Bible to find the scene related to probability. I did so in prayer. At last, I found Mark chapter 9, where a man whose son was tormented with seizure asked Jesus, if you can do anything, please help us. Basically, he was saying, if there's a probability of you being able to help us, please do. In reply, Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. I think the father of that son heard rumors about Jesus, and because his son was severely tormented by the demon, he had hope that Jesus could heal him of demon possession, a seizure. He thought it was probable that Jesus could heal him. So that's why he asked, if you can, please help us. In reply, Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. So basically, Jesus said, what's the point of probability? Even though there's no probability, with spiritual faith which satisfies the justice, anything is possible. Excuse me, I have to use some English sentences here. So, if you have faith, no matter whom you face, only if you have spiritual faith, anything is possible. Everything is possible. Whenever David, as we find from today's passage, he developed faith by which he only relied on God. In doing so, David satisfied the justice by his spiritual faith, and this caused God to work for him. And seeing this case, I looked back on myself, reflected on my spiritual faith. And now looking back, my transfer from the previous denomination to Mammon Church is like a dream. Because I consider myself pretty conservative. So giving up my vested rights to transfer was never easy. My transferring from the previous denomination to here, this denomination, was never easy. But it turned out that there was justice satisfied for this. You know, my grandfathers, both my father's and mother's sides, were pastors. Particularly, my mother's father served as the senior pastor at a church that belonged to the original Holiness denomination. He also served as the chairman there. Later on, I heard that he also served as the president of the seminary that senior pastor attended. After I came to Mammon Church, Pastor John Kim, in charge of Busan Mammon Church, told me that he knew my grandfather and the fact that he served as the president of the seminary there. My grandfather was the successor of Pastor Taeku Son, who taught our senior pastor in the seminary. But as my grandfather got old, he moved to the United States. So Pastor Taeku Son, who taught senior pastor, again became the president. But the reason I'm talking about is to remind you that how Pastor Taeku Son divided, how Taeku Son and how my grandfather and it is just to remind you that my grandfather had shared the same theological views with those of our senior pastor. I'm just proud of this. While Pastor Taeku Son, who taught senior pastor, visited the United States for his research, he met Dr. Dale Yocum, who is the master of holiness doctrine, and invited him to teach at this seminary, Pastor Takuson and Dr. Dale Yocom believed in perfect sanctification, but the seminary expressed their disagreement in regard to perfect sanctification. They argue that reaching perfect sanctification is impossible. We can only make efforts on our part. But Pastor Takuson and Dr. Dale Yocom believed in perfect sanctification. Perfect sanctification. So, the seminary demanded that Pastor Takuson leave the denomination if we wouldn't agree with them. Because Pastor Son and Dr. Yocom couldn't distort the truth. He established a new denomination, dividing from the original holiness denomination. What does the Bible say? You shall be holy, for I am holy. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So this is the same with what Senior Pastor has taught us. My grandfather, after he immigrated to the United States, So I'm just proud of my grandfather having shared the same theological views with those of Senior Pastor. So as a grandson, I think my transfer from previous denomination to this church, there must have been some kind of justice fulfilled and satisfied. So another incident where I showed a spiritual faith, let me introduce that incident. Let me explain. Even while serving at my previous church, I was listening to senior pastor sermons online. One night, I had a severe stomachache and was taken to the ER, and there the doctor found a kidney stone. And unfortunately, after I was... So even after I came back home, the symptoms recurred every 4 to 5 days. So after that, one morning, after I dropped off my son at his high school, I was driving back home, but the pain was unbearable to the point where I couldn't even drive anymore. So I pulled up to the side of the road and began to pray, twisting my body right and left and crying out in prayer. And I also vomited some yellowish stuff. Even though I hadn't eaten anything that morning, the severe pain from my kidney pressured my stomach, so I threw up the gastric fluid. So I rolled around in my car in prayer. Back at the time, you know, as I told you, I had been listening to senior pastor's sermons online. I received a lot of grace through the messages. So while I was rolling around in my car, at this point, the image of senior pastor, which I saw on the internet, came to mind, and I prayed with a resolution saying, God, I will not go to the hospital. I will not rely on worldly ways. I want to become a true pastor. After 1 hour, the pain began to stop. Even though the pain stopped, there was some remaining discomfort. Because I had prayed that way, I tried to keep my faith. And after 2 days, while I was urinating, the stone came out of my body in my urine. And after that, the symptoms never recurred, which means I was perfectly healed ever since. I believe God saw me remembering senior pastor whom I hadn't met in person acknowledged it as spiritual faith. Let's talk about some biblical incident. In Genesis chapter 23, we find the scene where Jacob was on his way to his hometown after his 20-year trial ended. Hearing the news of his brother's return, Esau waited on the other side of Jabbok River to kill him. So that night, Jacob wrestled with the archangel. Before the morning broke, the archangel told Jacob to let go of him, but Jacob persistently held on to the archangel. So the archangel, as he left, he dislocated Jacob's hip joint. This happened like 38. In prayer, I received some inspiration as if I was right there in that scene where Jacob was wrestling with the archangel. You know, Jacob was wrestling with the archangel. So, when because they were wrestling each other, the archangel should have shaken off his arms. He shouldn't have dislocated his hip joint. So I wonder why this thing happened. While I was in prayer, I was inspired and received the inspiration that when the archangel dislocated his hip joint, it wasn't like God was saying, let go of me. Stop asking me. You know, if you dislocated someone's hip joint, he cannot even keep on his feet. So he has to hold on to the archangel even more, all the more fast. That's the inspiration I received. In God's sight, for Jacob to overcome his crisis, Jacob, in God's sight, lacked the justice. So Father God calls Jacob to hold on to the archangel all the more by having his hip joint dislocated. And as a result, as Jacob limped across the Jabbok River, the grudge that existed in Esau's heart melted away. Of course, Sina Pastor told us that the dislocation of hip joint spiritually signifies that his self and his ego utterly shattered. Back at the time, the only weapon that Jacob had was a staff used to shepherd his sheep. So how could he possibly defeat Esau? Because Jacob lacked justice, Father God caused Jacob to hold on to the archangel even more by having his hip joint dislocated. So even when you find yourself falling into deeper trouble despite your prayer, for example, if you pray for financial problems, but it seems that more serious problems come, then you shouldn't be discouraged. You have to believe that Father God is urging you to satisfy more of His justice. And you have to believe that He will surely answer you if you satisfy His justice. At least, for God, in God's sight, whether something is physically possible or not possible, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to God is whether you spiritually satisfy His justice. Do you lack justice in love? Do you lack justice in other areas? Do you lack justice in prayer? Then you have to diligently attend the special Daniel prayer meeting with greater longing. thereby satisfying the justice in prayer. Secondly, David equipped himself with spiritual weapons, not physical ones. If we satisfy spiritual conditions, we can receive God's answer, win in the battle where there's no chance of victory, and make impossible things possible. We can make, we can experience God's works by which even impossible things are made possible. When David declared that he would go out to the battlefield, Saul offered David his garments, a bronze helmet, and his sword. Having no experiences in battles, to defeat Goliath as a boy, David had to at least equip himself with a helmet, armor, a sword, and more, didn't he? But David left all these things behind. Instead, he went to a stream and he carried a sling with himself. So he prepared himself with a spiritual weapon, not a physical one. We often see businessmen saying, "I wish I had more money to invest. I would be more blessed. If the economy was booming, if I had people with riches and power around me, they'd be of great help. I wish I had people who helped me. I wish I had learned more. I wish my parents had more riches and power." They all talk about such physical conditions. But you have to know that flesh changes and perishes, while spirit does not change and is everlasting. Spirit controls and governs flesh, and spirit is of a higher dimension. That's why David left behind physical weapons and instead picked up spiritual weapons. Physical equipment may look magnificent and powerful, but it's like straw and is not essential. Spiritual weapons are real, while physical weapons have no essence. Just as Sina Pastor said, all physical things have no essence and they are not real. You know, I served in the army as an ROTC official, but I was discharged because of an illness. So there was nothing I could do. So I just prayed. I held on to God, staying at a prayer center. Even before I was healed, Father God assigned me His duties. For example, I bumped into someone who said, "You have to become a pastor." Hearing this, I was surprised. I actually didn't want to become a pastor. But this person, so I said, why are you telling me to become a pastor? So at last I decided to become a pastor and entered the seminary. So I held on to God. And finally, I became a pastor. And right after I became a pastor, one day I was sharing the gospel at a college campus. Back in my physics class in the middle school, I learned that a substance is split into molecules, and a molecule can be split into atoms. which means an atom is the smallest component of a substance. You know, an atom consists of nucleus and electrons. So I wonder what exists between the nucleus and the electron. I wonder if an atom can be split again, like into nucleus and the electron. So, because I was visiting the college campus, I talked with the college students. Some students were sitting together enjoying their meal. I approached them and talked to one of them. It turned out that he was majoring in electronic engineering. So I asked him questions. I said to him, you know, look at that rock. It also consists of... So I asked him, do you know what exists between the electron and this nucleus? He replied, probably that space is a vacuum. Everything is like this. So if we look at everything, so what is real? Only our spirit is real. All things in this world are not real, and they will disappear, while our spirit is real. All things in this physical world is composed of even Rocky Mountains, Sydney Opera House, and even Grand Canyon are not exceptions. Take a look at each other's face. They are not real. Actually, even people sitting next to you are not real. We have to look at what is real. So, don't look at yourself in the mirror and say like, why am I so ugly? Don't say that way. In heaven, everyone here will have a long height. Even people with a lot of wrinkles on their faces. But this is not real. What is real is what we will look like in heaven. We will all have blonde hair and will be taller. To sum up, David equipped himself with spiritual weapons, not physical ones. And by the way, David didn't just have spiritual equipment, spiritual weapon. He made a weapon of it. He made use of his sling and made it into a spiritual weapon to defeat Goliath. You know, we have a lot of things in our life of faith. We have many items of spiritual equipment like prayer, praises, words, faith, and the nine fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are essentials in our Christian life, but we should go further than just having them. We have to go further than just having them. We have to make a weapon of them. So, for example, we should go beyond just praying. We have to make a weapon of our prayer. By praying, we have to drive away all concerns and darkness. Let's say you come to Daniel prayer meeting depressed and down, but you have to feel different when you go home. Even if you come with a depressing look, you have to go home with a bright smile. You should make the enemy devil go away by praying. We have to bring down power, strength by prayer. We have to make a weapon of our praises as well. If we sing lyrics in the Spirit's inspiration, we tear up, get strengthened, and darkness and anxieties are driven away. The same should go for the words. As we understand and apply the words, we should have all our questions resolved, discover the truth, and bring down God's answer. With our words, we should prevent ourselves from wandering. We should only then can we make power of the words. So I closely read the Bible. The Red Sea was split by Moses' faith alone. But when the Israelites crossed the Jordan into Canaan, God required the faith of all the people. Before the Israelites entered Canaan, they had to cross the Jordan River. When the Red Sea was split, God sent an east wind and dried up the passage so that they could walk through without much discomfort. God made it dried up and comfortable to walk on. Yet, it wasn't the same when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River. The waters of the Jordan weren't cut off until the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant were dipped in the water. You know, the feet of the priests with the Ark of the Covenant were dipped in the water. Their feet were soaked in the Jordan River. So the fact that their feet were soaked caught my attention, which means they faced difficulties. Our church and senior pastor also go through difficulties. So here, the water of Jordan spiritually signifies obstacles hindering the people from entering Canaan. Likewise, we, mommy members and senior pastors, are dipped in water a little bit. That's why we shouldn't have concerns or anxieties. Looking at our situation, we can find all the answers from the Bible. And as they crossed the Jordan River, God told the Israelites to consecrate themselves. You know, we don't have to listen to the comments of people, but only to the words of God. You know, even the Israelites, their feet were soaked in the water. The priests' feet were soaked in water. Let's say the Israelites wondered, why should our feet be soaked in water? Did they say so? Even while their feet were soaked, they kept going. And finally, they entered Canaan. To sum up, we have to make a weapon of our prayer, our praise, and our words. In doing so, we can make even impossible things possible, even in a situation where there is almost no probability. Let me introduce some idioms talking about the relationship between a crisis and an opportunity. A crisis is a great opportunity. Another one, an opportunity is hidden in a crisis. The last one, a crisis and an opportunity share the same face. King Saul and his people were alarmed, terrified at the sight of Goliath. But David, who saw the same thing, was happy for the opportunity to honor God. Even though they saw the same thing, the face of Goliath, their thoughts were different. What about you? Looking at our situation, what do you think? Do you think like, we are in big trouble, this is a crisis? You don't have to feel that way, but you have to think of this as an great opportunity to give glory to God. I once had a chance to watch a documentary on the World War II. For some time, the German forces achieved victory after victory thanks to the leadership of Erwin Rommel, who was a general nicknamed a Desert Fox. Whenever he appeared, the Allied forces suffered defeat after defeat. Then, the General George Patton became the new commander assigned to the tank units of the Allied forces. When General Patton received the reports of the German forces' arrival, General Patton didn't think of this as a big trouble. With a smile, he said like, "Finally, the time has arrived for me to achieve victory. I will surely win this battle." And finally, he defeated the General Rommel, and then advanced into the German mainland, thereby greatly contributing to the surrender of the Nazi Germany. He did so just as David did. David achieved victory. David confessed that the battle belongs to the Lord. And do you remember what David did after he proclaimed that he got the opportunity to give glory to God? You know, as we find from the verse 48 from today's passage, we find that he ran quickly towards the battle line. It should be the same for us. We should run quickly without hesitation. We shouldn't say like, after senior pastor comes out, I will work diligently. Later on, I will carry out my duties. After senior pastor comes out, we have to run quickly, carrying out our duties. You know, David picked up stones and ran with a sling. Likewise, we have to pray fervently as we run quickly into the battlefield. The Bible doesn't tell us to take a break and work hard again after senior pastor comes out. Father God will show us the work by which impossible things are made possible. Let's talk about Joseph. You know, after he was sold into slavery, but by Father God's grace, he was put in charge of all household affairs in Potiphar's household. But with false charges, he was imprisoned. Joseph faced a crisis on three occasions. First, he was sold into slavery. Second, he was imprisoned. And Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh's cupbearer. After interpreting his dream, Joseph asked the cupbearer to notify the king of his innocence and of his unfair situation and let him be released. Cupbearer was nowadays equivalent of, you know, the presidential secretary or something. But the cupbearer didn't remember Joseph. Joseph faced another crisis. So Joseph prayed. So I couldn't understand this scene. So I prayed again. Whenever we have trouble understanding the Bible verses, we have to pray like this. So I asked God in prayer, why? I said in prayer, it would have been better for the cupbearer to remember Joseph right away and had him released. But why didn't he remember him and had him stay in prison for 2 or 3 more years? But Father God, I was inspired. It was like Father God said, I made the cupbearer forget Joseph. Think about this. If Joseph had been released quicker than he actually was, it would have been good. Joseph would have been set free. He would have been put in a position. At least Joseph could become a low-ranking official. Joseph could have become received a position in charge of a small village. But think about this. If these things had happened, would God's promise been fulfilled that way? So for God's providence, Father God had a plan to Joseph should have become a prime minister, not just a low-ranking official. So that's why Father God caused the King Pharaoh to have dreams. And by interpreting his dreams, Joseph became a prime minister and allowed his families to come into the land of Canaan, to Egypt. We may also think we are in trouble and these troubles are not resolved right away. We are not limited to Korea. We are not limited to the Guro area, but we have a mission for the world. Even though our trials seem to last long, even though we may find ourselves in trouble, but I want you to believe that this is within a great providence of God for Him to lead us into New Jerusalem. I believe and pray that the work by which impossible things are made possible will be revealed, and it will surely happen. Senior pastor will come out and achieve the completion of the power recreation, and we will achieve the construction of Canaan Sanctuary and Grand Sanctuary, and Father God will make possible things more possible. brothers and sisters, remembering that David won in the battle where he had no probability. Likewise, we also have to give glory to God. All of us. All of us will experience Father God's work by which impossible things are made possible. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.